Now, government has pulled back draft regulations under the National Credit Act, proposals that business says would have made credit easier for small enterprises. The reversal coming after a public outcry, but many are asking at what cost. With rising costs, constrained credit and fragile growth, businesses, I would suggest, can't afford policy flip-flops. Well, let's discuss this in a little more detail. I'm in conversation now with Kulekani Mate, who's Chief Executive Officer of Business Unity South Africa. I want to dig beneath the headlines. Who really wins or loses when regulation is withdrawn? And maybe more importantly, what message does this send about South Africa's commitment to small business growth? Kulekani, a very warm welcome to you. Maybe in layman's terms, let's start this conversation with you telling me what exactly has been withdrawn.
Thank you, Jeremy. So what's happened here is that as part of the government-business partnership to address a number of issues, one of those is youth unemployment. In the context of youth unemployment, the president asked us as business and said, what stops banks from lending more to SMEs? So we took that exam question to the banks and examined what could be done to allow banks to lend more. And they identified a raft of issues. The most easy ones to deal with were those that required only a change of regulations and not the principal act, the principal act being the National Credit Act. So essentially, Jeremy, these amendments to the regulations were meant to allow banks to extend credit to small businesses by making minor amendments to regulations that have been in our books since 2006. So that is 19 years ago.
So in your view, then, what does this reversal say about government's ability to follow through on reforms specifically aimed at helping small business?
So what is disappointing, Jeremy, about this is that, in fact, these regulations were withdrawn for reasons that are not related to these regulatory amendments that were being proposed here. It was on a matter that has been in our books since 2006, which these regulations do not change. That is very disappointing because we ought to have explained these to those who raised concerns. And so this is not really about government not being committed to this. I think in its wisdom, it was responding to public pressure, but we would argue that it could have been dealt with differently, given that the public outcry was in fact dealing with a matter other than the one that the regulations are intending to resolve or dealing with at all.
As you say, poor communication, because the outcry obviously then driven by a misunderstanding of the regulations. But were there any legitimate concerns, do you think?
Look, in the first instance, I think the public is within its right to raise concern and in fact be engaged in the policymaking process. So one has to applaud that, because I think if we had an engaged public on all matters, we would be better off as society. So the matter that they picked on relates to a part of the amendments that talks about credit and sources of credit information. And the fear there is that credit bureaus would then blacklist students. In my view and in our view, this is not what this regulation is about. And because it's been in our books for so long, we have not had instances of students being blacklisted. This is why we think this is a misunderstanding that is unfounded, because we've not had those instances of blacklisting of students who have student loans or universities, for that matter.
Kulekani, it's taking a chainsaw to chop down a daisy. Surely there was a better way to mitigate all of those concerns rather than scrapping the entire raft of regulations, though.
Absolutely agree with you there. And by the way, given that you have this live, if you like, as it were, live amendments in place, it would have been possible to even listen to those who are concerned about other aspects of the regulations and dealing with those as well. That's fine, because you had opened up a process that says, let us amend regulations, right? So to simply withdraw it the way that it was done is not helpful at all. It delays a process which, by the way, extending credit to small businesses was seen as an important enabler for small business to grow and thus create jobs. And so we're setting back a much bigger, more important agenda here through or by virtue of this misunderstanding.
And it's going to cost small business a lot more money when trying to access credit, isn't it?
Well, look, if we do not resolve these constraints to small businesses accessing credit, it simply slows down the growth of small businesses. If, on the other hand, we resist a possibility of credit information for small businesses being held by credit bureaus, it means that we're asking lenders to or credit providers to provide credit without the benefit of seeing the credit information of those they're expected to lend to. The natural thing in those circumstances is, in fact, to then raise the cost of credit, which would defeat the whole purpose. So the idea of credit bureaus holding credit information for small businesses, which is something that we have not had in our books before, would start to create an information base necessary for credit decision making.
Am I stretching a point when I suggest to you that this decision could impact our competitiveness in attracting domestic and foreign investment, particularly in the SME sector?
What it would do has the potential to do is for somebody sitting and looking and saying, can we really trust the decisions of this government if it can flip-flop like this? That would be unfortunate because what we really want is people to have a confidence in our laws and confidence in our lawmaking process. And this does dent that confidence a bit.
So what's the next step here as far as Busa is concerned?
I think there is a need to clarify this because, of course, we do not want it to appear that Busa is tone deaf to the concerns that have been raised. So there's an important step of actually explaining what this is about so that when the minister comes back with these regulations and perhaps expanding it to attend to those that have raised concerns which have been there in our books, at least there is a good understanding of where we are. There was no malicious intent here. In fact, the intent was to address this vexing question of how can we unleash the potential of small businesses to grow and create jobs.
Do you think this will end up in court?
I do not expect it to end up in court, but it, of course, does depend on the decisions that different bodies make. Certainly, as Busa, we have not taken the decision to go to court. We will engage the minister. We would hope that we can get this back, these amendments back in its current form or expand it to respond to the concerns raised, but so that we do not lose any more time in this important reform.
Thank you very much indeed. Kulakane Mate, Chief Executive Officer, Business Unity South Africa.